All right, all the kids in the house, go ahead and get it out. Scream away. One, two, three. Obviously, all of you already looked at your children in the car and were like, if you say a word. Oh, wow. All right, turn on the lights in the house so I can see everyone's pretty face. Hey, there you are. There we go. I love it. All right, my childhood friend since birth came yesterday to visit me. He and his lovely family, and I've spoken about him before. His name's Wally. Some of you guys, Wally is not in this service today. He'll be here at the 11 o'clock service. He has four girls, so if you see him walking in between services here, give him a shout and say, hey, Wally, he is really an extrovert, let me tell you. So make sure you call out his name. But he and I were talking yesterday, and we were discussing our pastors growing up. We had a few, and it was super funny because I'm ringing, by the way, Brian. You got to unfortunately pull me down here. So we were talking about it, and we said, you know, we can't remember anything our pastor said when we were younger. Nothing. We don't remember anything. And I said, I would love to have an audio tape of it to listen, just to kind of see if something kind of triggers in my brain of like, I remember this or whatever. So all you children in the room, you're not used to me, all right? I know the Harkins girls, immediately when I told them that I was their pastor this morning teaching them, one of them was like, no. Yeah, she's actually proud of that moment. She's waving back here at me. So children in the room, if there's one thing that I pray that you remember, please remember this. I want you to know that Jesus loves you more than anything you can ever imagine. So will you please remember that? Now, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to look at your parents, and I want you to say, Jesus loves me right now. One, two, three. Say it. That wasn't convincing. Every one of you in this room right now with some strength. One, two, three, Jesus loves me, go. That's what I'm talking about. So I've been talking about the me factor, me. So last week I talked about me, but I'm not talking about me necessarily in the proper form. I'm talking about all of us individually. That self-examination moment to say, man, I gotta look at this. I got to see who I am in Christ Jesus. I need to know that I'm a faithful follower, that I am called. And a lot of us, we ask those questions on a daily basis, and you should know as a Christian, you are called, and you are a faithful follower to Jesus Christ. You're needed for the kingdom of God. It's never going to be the same without you. You have come into this world, and God has created a purpose for you, a unique design in who you are. And when you begin to walk in this me factor of I know who I am, then everything changes. Now, the next big thing that's important is the you factor. So let me turn it on here. Hopefully I got a button in my pocket to turn it on. There we go. The you factor. Now I'm talking about the people we encounter on a regular basis. Some of you have good, close friends. Are you a feeder or are you sucking them dry? Are you feeding everyone you encounter? And that's a hard question. Are you treating people with respect? Are you treating people with honor? Are you helping them or are you hurting them? We always need to be examining this side of ourselves. You know, there's a word right now. It's a word that's very controversial. I looked at one of my staff members this past week and I said, I'm going to say it. And he just kind of gave me that look. Like, I hope I know what you're doing. Or I hope you know what you're doing. And I said, you know, I think it's important. But I want to bring up cancel culture. Some of you in this room, or maybe you're watching right now, you're like, I love cancel culture. Now, cancel culture is a hot topic word right now. It's been around since 2016, actually. And we've been doing it for years. Us Christians are actually pretty decent at it. I mean, how many of you grew up as a Christian, but yet you weren't allowed to watch the Smurfs? We were pretty good. Yeah, I've seen some hands go up. We're pretty good at it ourselves. It's not like the first time we've ever heard of this. You know, it's normal. However, the problem with cancel culture here recently is that if we really look at it, it doesn't help. It doesn't show mercy and it doesn't show grace in any way, shape, or form. And I don't believe that Jesus would ever cancel anyone. If we defined cancel culture, as far as what we're trying to define it, the news outlets and everyone's defining it this way, to punish people for behaving outside of perceived social norms, either now or in the past. But you know what? Jesus didn't bring a cancel culture. He brought a kingdom culture. And we need to know what he's doing, the king's way of doing things. When we see ourselves, we don't want to see ourselves as canceled, nor should we see anyone else as canceled either. It's not helpful. It does not bring light to this world in any way, shape, or form. It brings darkness, brings condemnation. And there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We have been set free from that. I got to let you guys know something. I'm not perfect. I know. Some of you in this room are like, what? I want to thank Jesus right now. There was no social media when I was in college. The worst thing you can find on me is a really bad yearbook picture. That's the worst. Maybe a friend or two, if you dug me up, you could be like, hey, do you know who Josh Gresham is? I got some friends who'd be like, oh, I know Josh Gresham. Boy, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I have been set free, that I've been covered by the blood of Jesus, that I've been washed. You know, Jesus came to give us life, life in abundance, right? He's red. That's Jesus, right? Jesus comes to give us life, life in abundance, to set us free. You know what's so wonderful about Jesus is that when he comes into your life, he takes over and he washes you. He takes care of you. He tells you, hey, don't worry about this past. It doesn't define you. Yes, you've gone through some things. And yes, you know, maybe some of those moments have made you who you are. And I've brought some good stuff out of these moments that would have never have ever been good, but I made it good for you. Jesus does this often. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I mean, to know that I haven't been canceled. If I lived in my past and I lived in regret, and then everyone that around me just wanted to continue to shame me, wanted to keep the shackles on, then I wouldn't be up in front of you right now at all. But thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for the atonement and the restoration, that mercy and grace. Would you guys believe it if I told you that my wife and I, we got in an argument on Friday, right? I might not have been the best dad yesterday on Saturday. I may have told a little lie this past week. I'm not saying that's right, but I'm letting you all know that, praise you, Jesus, that he didn't cancel me. He looks at me and says, hey, you told a lie. What? I told a lie? And then he reminds me, and he gives me a moment of forgiveness. He says to me, hey, you did something stupid. Ah, geez, I did something not so smart. And he says, hey, let's do something about it. You know, I read in the Bible and I find all kinds of stories. A lot of us know the story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Jesus was on the way to Jericho. Zacchaeus had heard about it. Little Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector. I love reading the Bible in different translations. I love the NLT version of this. He says everyone was so upset that Jesus decided to eat at Zacchaeus' house. And in some translations, they call him a notorious sinner, a famous sinner. Everyone knew him. I think about that. I think about all these people that's being canceled right now. A notorious sinner. How would you guys feel if our church got a little uncomfortable right now? I don't think if your prayers were really true about seeing this world saved, that you'd actually be that happy. Because the people sitting beside you right now are the people that you wouldn't want to hang out with. You'd get a little uncomfortable with some people that'd be sitting in the row with you right now. You begin to judge them by how they look, by maybe how they dress, or maybe just their celebrity profile. Do you know what they've done? Yeah, you know. Do you know what you've done? Praise you, God, for just yearbooks, right? Stashed away in your mom's attic. Those were mine, are. They're still in my parents' little box. Man, we'd get real uncomfortable real fast. I think we need to wake up to this. This cancel culture of sorts. Of how it's not a healthy culture. It's not a healthy way of acting. I think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was curious. Do you imagine? Zacchaeus climbs the tree and he's looking for Jesus, and everyone just started beginning to shake the tree to have him fall down. Oh, no, you don't. We're not going to let you see Jesus. It's not a healthy environment, is it? Jesus comes over and says, hey, calls him out by name, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go eat at your house tonight. Let's go. Let's go do this. Then immediately everyone murmuring, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Because Jesus wasn't in the canceling business. He says to Zacchaeus, let's go eat. Here's the deal. When you read John chapter 3, verse 16, a lot of times we stop. But if you continue to read verse 17, you would acknowledge that God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn this world, but to set us free. You know, Jesus wasn't in that business of exposing sin to shame someone. He came to expose sin by the way of the Holy Spirit, and he cleanses sin with his blood. We need to be that same example. That we're not here to wag our finger at people and to shame them, but to show them. You know what Jesus did that day? He exposed himself to Zacchaeus and says, hey, I've got some goodness. Zacchaeus immediately was like, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to sell half of my possessions. I'm going to give them away. I'm going to give them away. Zacchaeus' whole house was changed that day. Matter of fact, Jesus even calls it out and says, man, how beautiful this is. Today, your house has been restored, has been saved. Many of us, maybe you've forgotten that you're saved. I'm kind of a little shocked on how we act at times. I've seen your social media feeds. Oh, I know, you're like, oh my gosh, he's canceling me right now. I've seen the way you act and some of the ways you talk. As your pastor, would you believe it or not? I actually have been given the authority to teach, to correct, and to instruct. That's hard for some of us in this room. No one wants to be corrected. I mean, hello. That's hard. But as my job and my responsibility is to remind you who me is. So that you can begin to treat others the way that God treats you. It's so sad. You know, another individual in the Bible that should have been canceled was Paul. Man, he should have been canceled. He was murdering people. He was trying to kill the gospel being preached. And Jesus interrupted him and did what? Exposed himself. Jesus says, hey, here I am. Paul, everything's going to change from here. And what happened? Paul went away. We learn in Galatians, as he's writing in his letter, Paul writes this letter to say, hey, you know, I went to Arabia and set for 3 years. He actually even inclines to, it gives this little notion that he set with Jesus for 3 years. Man, talk about dedication. Talk about separation. To say, I want to be with Jesus. That goes back to that me factor. What are you putting in? What are some of the results that you're seeing? We need to be careful that we're not canceling ourselves, that we're aware of those actions that we're doing, that we're feeding people, that we're not destroying and hurting people. What are we doing? How are we acting around others? Are you an example to be followed? You know, I see this Jesus that the Christian church has created, and I think, man, it's a picture that maybe is not completely revealed. It's like a picture of happy-go-lucky Jesus. And I think, no, Jesus is this warrior. Jesus is this man, comes on the scene and changes things. And he gives us that same example to follow, to say, man, I want you to come on the scene and change the atmosphere around you. I think about how the world wants to cancel you, but yet the king wants to cover you. I think about how the world wants to shame you, but the king wants to love you. And I think about how the world wants to hurt you, but the king wants to heal you. Are you walking in that same position with others? That you want to love them, that you want to cover them, that you want to heal them? Think about other stories. One of those really weird stories with Noah, because the children in the room, I won't go in depth. And I think where Ham, Noah's son, made the mistake. Came out after seeing his father in a sin moment and began to shame him. What happened? God corrected Ham. Shem and Japheth go in and they do what? They cover Noah. That's right. They don't go in to shame him. They go in to cover him. It's easy for us to cancel people. I mean, to cut people off, to not talk to them, to not answer their phone calls, to act like you're hidden in your house somewhere when they come a knocking, to ignore because you're just not happy with them. Now, don't get me wrong. There are boundaries that need to be set. There are moments where you have been hurt, maybe it's physically and emotionally. You can still walk in forgiveness and love, and you need to. But there might be a moment where you have to put up a little boundary. You still love them, you still acknowledge them, you don't cancel them, but you also bite your tongue. You know, Proverbs 18:21, it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking out right now? Are you speaking words of love or words of shame? Where do you stand with Jesus? Do you stand in a way that you feel shamed? And maybe that's how you think you should be acting with others because you feel that way. That goes back to this examination of who you are. This me moment to go, you shouldn't be feeling shamed. You are loved. Walk in that love so that you too can be an example of that love. Man, we allow it to come in and set destruction in our path. You know, Jesus held people responsible for their actions. There's a sense of cancel culture that they're trying to create this mob form of holding people. But the problem is the world is not aware of Jesus Christ. They have no idea. They want someone to suffer. Do you know, Jesus, in holding people responsible, he then gave them the moment of saying, Are you able to repent? Are you willing to walk in forgiveness? Are you willing to allow me to restore you? That's how Jesus operated. Do you guys know, this is something maybe a little silly. Do you guys know who I pray for? And this is legit, and if you know anyone who's close to me, do you know who I pray for often? Britney Spears. Isn't that an odd person to pray for? She's been on my heart for probably about 17 years now. Some of you are like, you just have a crush. No, I'm married. But my wife will tell you, as somebody who I've told her multiple times, I just wish that she would know who Jesus is in her life. And I think that way about Eminem. I think that way about all of our politicians. I don't care if you say you're a Republican, you think all Republicans know who Jesus is, you're a liar. Don't even act like your party's the holy ones. I've been around some of these Republican huge bigwigs, actually. I've been in a room with one. I hit him a few times by accident, and he wasn't the nicest person to me. I even believe the Secret Service still watches me to this day right now. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, actually, is who it was. I've been around these guys. They may know who Jesus is, but my question is, do they know who Jesus is? Guys, we need to be praying for President Biden and not condemning and shaming him. We shouldn't be condemning anyone and canceling anyone, no matter what your political party is. We should be walking in forgiveness. The King's way is forgiveness. The King's way is mercy. The King's way is atonement. The King's way is restoration. The King's way is redemption. In James chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere." You know, in Romans chapter 3, verse 2 through 6, in the Message version, I love how this reads. It says, "So what if, in the course of doing that, some of those Jews abandoned their post? They abandoned their identity. They've lost who they are. God didn't abandon them. Do you think their faithlessness cancels out his faithfulness? Not on your life. Depend on it. God keeps his word even when the whole world is lying through its teeth. Scripture says the same. Your words stand fast and true. Rejection doesn't faze you." Man, wake up. Wake up. You just read the word of God. Do you know how powerful the word of God is? The problem is, when you begin to still live in shame and you feel this doubt of like, man, God wouldn't even restore me. I can't, there's no way God wants to be near me. God does not want to heal me. God does not want to forgive me. The problem is it's that you're living in sin. In Ephesians chapter 5, that's your homework this week. You need to study this chapter out. Because here's the problem. The world doesn't know Jesus. So they just cancel. But Jesus says, hey, I've got a better way of doing things. So Paul instructs this and says, hey, you need to expose the sin in your life. It's not exposing and begin to whip ourselves. It's to say, hey, God, forgive me. I have created sin in my life. I've allowed it to fester. I've allowed it to sit longer than it should. You need to expose that sin in your life. Because what happens is when you begin to live in that sin, it just eats you alive. And let me tell you something. You think you're hiding that sin? You're wrong. Even James gives us, this great moment of kind of like, do you know what happens with sin? It's temptation. And then before you know it, it arises a spirit of death. James chapter 1, verse 15. He warns us and he says, death. Like, this is one of those aha moments to go, oh, goodness, people can see it on you. This is what sin looks like. I've seen it on people. They get real quiet. They put their head down. I mean, have you ever caught your children in a bad moment? And immediately they're in that moment of like, not me. Put their head down. They don't want to look at you. You do the exact same thing. You're in sin. You need to take care of it. Paul gives us the full step-by-step plan here. He tells us, he says, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. He goes on to talk about living by the Spirit's power. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. He calls us out. He says, don't be drunk with wine. He says, but be drunk in the Holy Spirit. Do you guys understand the capacity of that? A lot of times we get all hung up with like, this is an alcohol moment. Let's talk about that. Some of you in this room are like, oh, there's children in this room. No, that's been the problem with church since day one, is that we throw things underneath the rug and we don't talk about real subjects. Might be the reason why I don't remember much as a kid growing up in church. This guy is going to talk about it. Guys, be drunk in the Spirit. You are so excited to fall face down before God and just lay it all out. You are so excited to be in His presence. You're so excited with the notion of, I can't wait for tomorrow morning to begin my day in the presence of God. Or I can't wait till lunchtime to spend time with Him in His presence. Oh, I can't wait till I get home. Man, how many times, and I'll be the culprit, I'll tell you, my wife and I wish that we did worship more together, and I apologize. I wish that my wife and I had a better routine. There are moments that we do have, we've had those moments, we walk into our fireplace room and we sit down and she just, she's a talker, I'm more of a listener, but she just downloads everything that God wants to say to her. I mean, last night we're laying in bed and I'm going over my message and I look at her and I go, all right, I want to say this phrase about how God exposes sin. So I give her this phrase and I'm like, can you help me word it correctly? And so she begins to kind of go, I get it down and all of a sudden I'm done. I put a period on it and then she just keeps going. I go, I just keep going. But I do wish when I say this to you that I myself, and I'm a work in progress, but I say I can't wait till this afternoon when my wife and I are going to sit in the room and we're going to talk about what Jesus has shared with us this day. Like that sounds very romantic, but it's actually very doable. It goes back to that urgency that when you hear Paul say, man, don't get drunk in wine, get drunk in the Spirit. That urgency to say, man, this has heaviness and value and weight to it. Man, I want that in my life. You know, I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, and it says, you know, you got to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. I want to talk about honor. Honor's big. It comes from a place of honoring Jesus, that Jesus goes before you, that Jesus goes in front. And as you're following Jesus, man, things, the clarity on the next best step, the clarity of knowing, man, who you are and what you're supposed to do. I mean, we're so aimlessly walking sometimes with trying to fulfill purpose in our lives of what are we supposed to do. I'm hung up right now on a chapter, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm so hung up on what Einstein had exposed with the theory of relativity, and some of you are like, where is Josh going with this? I'm still trying to figure it out too. But I think about time, and I am inundated with this thought, with Ephesians chapter 1, and by putting on these goggles with the scripture in front of me, that I can see things differently, but it's verses 1 through 11, and maybe in a few weeks I'll begin to teach out of it as God reveals it to me. But I think about how we put so much emphasis on time that Jesus gets pushed to the side because we value other things before Him. Jesus is so important in our lives, so important. When we honor Him, we're actually able to honor others. When we honor people, when we honor what God has placed before us, your atmosphere changes. Everything changes. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, it says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think they're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Some of us have a real hard time with everything I just said right now. Isn't it sad that maybe some of you in this room, you're like, this is the first time I've ever heard this scripture. We can't walk in ignorance. 1 Peter 4:8, it says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. We're called to guard our hearts. We got to guard our hearts from sin, not from people. Let me say that again. We've got to guard our hearts from sin and not people. You guys know that this war we fight is not of flesh and blood, it's spiritual warfare. I've encountered some mean people in my days, but it's not them, it's sin. And we need to wake up to this. We begin to disrespect people and treat them as second best. We're to love our enemies. We're to restore our enemies. We're to help them. And that's not the easiest thing to do. We have a world right now that's trying to tell us to shame people. We've got to change this. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn, but to set people free. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Man, we are walking around so haughty, prideful. Man, I've so much gossip. So much gossip. I've heard it even in your own lips about yourself. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I don't have enough time. These words are words of destruction on your own life. And then you aren't in a great place to reach out to other people. You're believing a lie. Jesus has set you free. Now it's time to start helping grow the kingdom of God and to set others free. You begin to reach out and to help and to give words of encouragement. You got to live this life too, though. It all starts from before those sins expose you, before they create death in your life. Stop walking around defeated. When you begin to flow in the Holy Spirit, you begin to allow the Holy Spirit, you begin to pray, You begin to pray in your prayer language of the Holy Spirit. Some of you all got uncomfortable with that too, because you're like, what kind of church is this? This is a tongue-talking church. Some of you are like, what? I was around a bunch of atheists one time, and they were all talking about the languages that they knew. They were like, yeah, I speak these two languages. And they said, Josh, you speak any languages? I said, tongues. They looked at me. I began to prophesy over their lives in the car. I began to talk to them about it. And they looked at me like I was really weird then. But the Holy Spirit had told me things about their lives. And then they were like, what is this? I spent a few days with them. By the end of the time I was with them, I remember they were asking me to pray for them. That's because God knows who you are. God knows what you need. When you begin to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere around you changes. But you know who you are because the Holy Spirit's come in and has exposed things to you. The light, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about it. That light inside of you begins to show those things that need to be exposed, that you can correct, so that you can walk in an upright form, so you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And we gotta start walking in boldness, so we can show people a better way. Our vision at this church is to help people find a better way. But it's because we know that better way. We're not ashamed of that better way. We are able to point to them, hey, let me show you what the scriptures say about this. This is what the world's telling you. The world's trying to shame you. The world's trying to hurt you. The world's trying to create destruction upon your life, but I've come to set you free. This morning, we're about to take communion, but I'll ask the question, do you know him? Are you the Zacchaeus up in a tree right now? Because I'm going to tell you, there's a Jesus that's calling out your name. There's a Jesus that wants to eat with you today. He wants to come into your house and change the atmosphere. This atmosphere of destruction. This atmosphere of shame. It can happen. You just got to allow Jesus to take over. Allow him in. So ask the question, do you want to know him? I want us to all bow our heads and let's examine right now. Let's examine ourselves. Let's begin to ask that question, Jesus. Jesus. Are you here? Oh, he's going to speak out. Just get ready. For you that call yourselves Christian, expose the sin in your life right now. Man, tell God, God, come in. Take this out, this destructive spirit. Take out this spirit of infirmity. Take out the spirit of depression. Take out the spirit of sickness. Take out the spirit of regret. Expose that out of your life right now. Begin to renew your mind daily. God, I thank you right now that you have given us a way out of sin, and that's through your Son, Jesus Christ. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, make that happen right now. Say, Jesus, come into me and restore me, heal me, forgive me. I accept you as Lord over my life. I give you dominion over my life. Every aspect of who I am is yours right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we have been washed white as snow and are forgiven. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reason why I put Jesus in the front, because I want to be a reflection of him. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see Jesus everywhere I go. As a young kid in the eighth grade, I was at summer camp, church camp. And I remember I said, I was around a group of guys and we all talked about how we wanted to be pastors. We felt that on our lives in the eighth grade. And so in that moment, we all made declarations. We're Christians and we're called. And this is what we're going to stand for. I remember coming back home and I remember telling my friends, hey, I'm called to be a pastor. I remember a lot of them just kind of looked at me and go, really? Like, okay. You know, like no big deal. Just like telling them that I wanted to be like, you know, a construction worker or whatever. But they all kind of started hearing me say it more often. And then they heard me declare things. I'm Josh. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss. I remember I went to High Point University for a basketball camp and while I was in high school, and I was jumping around on the bunk bed like an idiot high school kid, and somehow I touched the ceiling and something fell in my eyeball, and I go to play a basketball game that afternoon, but there was something still in my eye, so they took me to the medical bay with all the students, the nursing and different students. And I was like, oh, geez, oh, Pete. Oh, geez, oh, Pete. And they go, how old are you? And I go, 17. And they said, who says geez, oh, Pete? I go, I'm a great Christian cusser. And they said, Christian cusser? I said, yeah. I've only said like a handful of cuss words in my entire life. I'm going to be a pastor someday. And you should have seen them. They started ushering people around, all the nursing staff guys, like they all came around and stood around the table and they looked at me. And they said, tell this guy what you just said. And I go, I've only said a handful of cuss words. I don't know why you're asking me to tell you guys. I got something in my eyeball, just get it out right now. That's more important right now. What was funny was they started holding me to these things. I remember one of the guys in the room goes, man, I wish I could say that. Man, I got a filthy mouth, right? And I said, yeah, man, like, I don't want to do those things. In college, I'd go to different places. I'd go to parties, and someone would offer me a beer, and someone would look at me. They'd go, oh, no, he doesn't drink. I wouldn't even have to say anything. Where I went, Jesus showed up. Jesus was protecting me. Jesus can do the exact same thing in your life. When you begin to declare these things over your life, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. He goes before you. He begins to take care of things. He begins to, no, he doesn't do those things. No, I'm protecting him. He doesn't do these things. He protects you. He goes before you. When you put him Lord over your life, he protects you. My prayer this week is that before you open up a substance you're not supposed to open up, Jesus goes before you. I believe in bad tastes. I pray that God puts bad tastes in your mouth. I believe he breaks you of addiction, of sin. He sets you free. I pray for that. I'm going to ask my wife to come up. If you do not have a little communion cup, the ushers have those right now. Just raise your hand. This communion represents Jesus upon our lives. His body being broken and his blood being shed on the cross for us. And when we partake in this together as a church, we're acknowledging who we are as Christians. That we've made him Lord over our lives. He goes before us. That's what we're declaring when we do this. It's a subtle reminder, but yet with some heaviness in thought. My prayer for all of you in this room is that this week, as Galatians chapter 5 instructs us, to walk by the fruit of the Spirit with love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That this week, things change before us. And that this reminder today puts us in perspective of who we are tomorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that Jesus was broken on the cross for us. And I thank you, Lord, that we are healed and made whole. In Jesus' name. This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, we thank you for this blood. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we acknowledge and know who we are in Christ Jesus. That, Lord, that no longer are we labeled as a sinner. For, Lord, we are labeled as a child of God, and that we walk in this. Upright, radiant, reflection of you upon our lives. And we thank you for this. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. As a church body, I want us to begin to make those declarations over our lives. To say that we are more than conquerors. That we are victorious in what we do and what we put our hands to. That we are blessed going in and blessed going out. That you're familiar with that same blessing that was bestowed upon Abraham, that's been bestowed upon you. That in Deuteronomy chapter 28, when the Israelites were being told by Moses of these promises, you too can walk in those promises. That you have the ability and the power to pray Psalm 91 protection over your life. That you're able to pray the Ephesians prayers. That when you're in the midst of trouble, that God will deliver you from those troubles. When the heaviness comes upon you, you can drop those heavy burdens at his feet. That you're not defeated. That you're not to walk around with your head low. But your head is hung high. I declare that this church, Trailhead Church, is a place where God heals and restores. That our community begins to say, you're that church that I can get pregnant at. Right, we already know that. You guys already know it. All of you in this room. But it goes beyond that. That's a church where I get to see the face of Jesus every Sunday. Every time those doors are open, I get to see Jesus. That's a place where I get to know my gift. That I get to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we get to see those in operation. That they're real and that they manifest out through the temple. That's a place where people, all walks of life, can come in and are welcomed. This is a place where God takes care of his people. I declare that right now in Jesus' name. Hey, if you're new, stick around, ask questions. Our greeting team, they're out there right now. Man, talk with them. Ask questions about next steps. We would encourage you to sign up to our next Pathfinders course. That's where you can find out more about the church and find that place where you can volunteer in the church. Tonight, if you're a youth, man, we have last Sunday. It is one of the fun, most enjoyable times to come out as a youth, to get to know our youth leaders and our youth pastors. Come out, meet Pastor Philip. He is awesome. And get to know who your fellow believers are in this house. I believe that's at 5 p.m. Philip, give me a yeehaw. Nope, no, I didn't say yep. I said yeehaw. There we go. All right. Come out at 5 p.m., you youth. The ushers are going to begin to dismiss you by row. I ask that you stay seated so that each row can go out. Guys, we're thankful for you. Come back next Sunday. Enjoy your week and say hi to Wally. He's out in the lobby. Say hi to Wally. All right, bye, guys. Have a good Sunday.